The following message is presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Now the message.
This morning, we're going to refer back to what we talked about Wednesday night. And I would encourage all of y'all to come join us on Wednesday night. It is a wonderful time of fellowship. Food, fellowship, prayer time, and Bible study. And so I would encourage y'all to join if you could on that. But this past Wednesday night, we looked at Colossians chapter 1. And we started looking there because we looked at Paul praying for the believers in Colossae. Okay, these are the Colossian believers. So praying for other Christians. We think a lot of times that we pray for those to come to know the Lord, and we should, by all means. We should be evangelistic. But we should also pray for other Christians. We should pray for each other. And these Christians in this area were facing false teachings. They were facing situations where their beliefs were being challenged. The teachings of Jesus himself were being questioned. And Paul prayed for them that they would have knowledge of God's will. And then he added in that prayer the wisdom and spiritual understanding. So in verse 9, verses 1 through 8, Paul says, I've heard about your faith. I know that you're believers. I know that you have love for Christ, but you also have love for each other. And for this is what he says in verse 9, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease praying for you. Now, the do not cease praying, we talked about that Wednesday night, just so you understand, that is not a every moment of the day prayer time. The Bible says that we should always be praying, have an attitude of prayer, and that means as you go along throughout the day, as you're doing your work, and as you do things, as God lays things on your heart, pray about them. Lift them up to God. But this we do not cease means they never stop. They never stop praying. They don't give up after a while. They just continue to pray. So you and I, as we go throughout our day, we should always be listening to God and praying, and as things are brought to mind, that we pray about them. But he goes on, he says, because of this, because of the things that are going on, and because of your love in Christ, we pray, and he says, and we ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So we need to pray for Christians in all that they get knowledge and wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that they can face the issues of life that they face. So that they can face the challenges of the false teachings. Do we face false teachings today? Sure we do. Of course we do. We face false teachings all the time. People are out there saying that it's wrong that you believe this. Well, it's not wrong because the Bible says it's not wrong. The Bible gives us knowledge to know what God wants us to do and what he wants us to believe. But in today's world, they're saying what God says is wrong. So we need knowledge of God's word to be able to understand what's right and what's wrong according to God. But it's not just, and Paul said this, and Paul knew this, it wasn't just the knowledge of the word of God, but that we needed a wisdom and spiritual understanding. So that's why he prayed. He prayed for the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding. Because we need to know how to take this and apply it to our lives. We need to know how to take God's word and how does that calculate into to my life today? How does it calculate, and how should I apply it to the way I live today? And that's what Paul said. So when we start thinking about this, how we should pray for others, we need to understand, we need to pray not only that they know God's word, but that they can apply it to their lives. And how do we get that? Well, as you read, the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom. It will give you spiritual understanding so that you can interpret God's word. But then also, we gain wisdom and understanding from other Christians. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So you gain wisdom and understanding. I gain wisdom and understanding by listening to sermons, to teachings, to talking and visiting with other Christians. And we encourage each other through life. Listen, some of us that may be a little more experienced in life, we need to share our experiences with those that may be a little younger. See, I said experience, not us old people, right? We need to share our experiences with others so that we can help sharpen them. And that's what Paul was praying for when he said, I'm praying for this wisdom. He's praying for the believers. And we need to pray that for each other. Now, when we pray for knowledge and wisdom, what does that do? This is a life-changing prayer that Paul is praying for these people. Life-changing prayer. He says, what happens when you gain that knowledge, when you gain that wisdom, when you gain that spiritual understanding? In verse 10, it says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. As we gain knowledge of God's will, then we know how to live. We know what He wants us to do. We know how He wants us to live. And when we apply that with our wisdom and spiritual understanding, we do things, we apply that to our lives, and we do things that God wants us to do. So we walk worthy of the Lord. And we please Him in how we live. Listen, people say, well, you can't get to heaven by what you do. You're right. It's only by grace of God that I am saved. But because of that grace, because I am saved, because what He did for me on the cross, then I need to live the way He asked me to live. And that comes through the knowledge and understanding of the Scripture, the knowledge and understanding of His Word. So when we walk in that knowledge, the results is that we please God. Listen, understand who you're walking with every day. God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So every day of your life, God is with you. You know, are you going to do things that you shouldn't do with God standing right beside you? When we grasp that knowledge and that understanding, we start thinking, you know, if God's right beside me, I don't want Him to see me do something that I shouldn't be doing. When we walk by somebody that's in need, and God's sitting there saying, help those in need, maybe we ought to stop and help and see how we can assist somebody in need. We need to walk worthy of God, and so we continually please Him. But we also, it says, that you walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Being fruitful. There is a lot that the Bible says about being fruitful. I told y'all that I was going to chase a rabbit. Well, here's the rabbit. What does it mean? What's it mean to be fruitful in every good work? We say it, we read it over and over, we hear about it in the Scripture about being fruitful. But what does it mean? We're going to look at that. First, I think being fruitful means that you are of good character. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is what your character is. When we have the knowledge of God, then it produces fruit in our lives. So our lives, our character is who we are, who we become. It's what people, what other people see in you. Do they see joy? Do they see gentleness? Do they see long-suffering or patience? Do they see kindness and goodness, faithfulness? Do they see peace, self-control? These are things that knowledge of God produces in our lives. We need to be praying that for each other. Because I'm going to tell you, sometimes in your job, it's hard to be patient, isn't it? Maybe sometimes just with the person you live with, it's hard to be patient. But we need to produce that in our lives. So character would be the first fruit that we produce. Secondly, is our conduct. Now, this is two different things. Two different things. Conduct is also a fruit of your life. Romans 6:22. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. This is how we act. This is how we act. Our conduct. Now, you're not going to be perfect. I'm not going to be perfect. But as we grow more like the perfection of Christ, then what we do and how we respond to things ought to be more godly. We ought not to get angry so easily. And that's something I work. Listen, I am a bad driver when it comes to traffic. I really get frustrated. I am not very patient in that area. I get mad when I get stopped at one of the three red lights in Manny. I mean, much less take me to Dallas or Houston. So I have to work on that. I'm never going to be perfect. But the closer I get to Christ, the more I need to act the way He wants me to act. My conduct. I need to bear that fruit in my life. Thirdly, the Bible speaks of our conversation. Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Listen, it's easy to say we have fruit when we sing, when we worship, when we preach or teach God's word. That's our lives producing fruit. Y'all, it's hard for me to watch the news sometimes lately. To see our leaders, supposedly our leaders up in Washington, and the foul language that they use sometimes. Christians, now whether those leaders up there are Christians or not, their lips are not producing fruit. Sometimes Christians here in Manny don't produce fruit with the way we talk. That is an area that maybe some of us need to work on. Okay? Listen, I'm not perfect. You may not hear it come out my lips. That don't mean it didn't run across my brain. I'm going to be the first one to, I'm no different than the rest of you, y'all. We have to grow to be more like Christ every day. And we got to be honest with ourselves. That's the one thing I always want to be, is I want to be honest with myself. If there's an area in my life that God wants me to work on, then I need to be honest with myself, because if I'm not honest with myself, it'll never be worked on, will it? So I know I'm not perfect. You may not hear me throw out that cuss word. That don't mean that it didn't get to right there. Because that's the way we are, and this is the world we live in. And sometimes those frustrating things, hitting your thumb with a hammer, or you just about got that project finished and something went wrong and now you got to tear some wall out or start over some way, it's frustrating. I'm glad I don't see my wife's brain when I'm around. Because sometimes it's just our spouses can make us frustrated. It's a good thing I can't see what my wife's thinking. Sometimes she tells me, though. So, the first fruit, character. That's who we are. Second fruit is conduct. It's what we do. The third fruit, conversation. It's what we say. The fourth is our contributions to God. Philippians 4, 16 through 17. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Here, Paul's talking about the gifts that were given to him in his ministry from the church, from believers. And he says, listen, your gift isn't the important thing to me. The important thing to me is that it is a fruit of your faith. And that it is accounted to your account. It's accounted to your account, not to mine. So as we give to the church, as we give to God's ministry, then we're doing that as an act of worship, as an act of praise. And what that shows is it shows that we put God first. So many times in this world today, people can get wrapped up with financial aspects of life. And it's important. If it wasn't important, God wouldn't have put scripture in the Bible about finances. It is very, very important. It's important to me. It's important to you. But it can't be more important than God. It can't be more important to God. And so what Paul is telling me, he says, listen, you giving to God's ministry shows that you're putting God first and that God is more important to you than money. Listen, if you think that I am a pastor who is scared to tell you that tithing is important, you're wrong. It's the only time in the Bible where God says, test me in this, that I won't open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out all my blessings, that you won't have storerooms enough to hold all the blessings I will pour out on you. Be careful that you don't think money is more valuable than God. Money is nothing in comparison to God. He walks on streets of gold, and one day so will I. Be careful you don't put money as more valuable. That's a fruit of the Spirit. That's a fruit of spiritual life, of faith. Living life. I know it's a situation, but listen, if I don't preach on it, then I'm keeping blessings away from you, right? I'm not teaching you how to get blessings. Then that's my fault. I'm withholding blessings from God's word. Let me be frank here. God don't need your money. He don't. He just kicked down a little asphalt. If he needs to do something, what he needs is your faith. What he needs is for Wade to surrender his life completely, 100% to God, including everything that God's blessed me with. You understand? I'm not scared to tell y'all that. Some people are. I'm not. Because money is nothing compared to God. The world thinks it is. The world thinks that the world revolves around finances. Well, the world is wrong. So, first, character, who you are. Second, conduct, what you do. Third, conversation. what you say. Fourth, your contributions, what you give to God. And the fifth and final one that we're going to talk about today, the Bible speaks of converts. Soul winning. Now, most of us would think that soul winning is the most important fruit, or that is the whole thing, winning souls. That is what God calls us to do, the Great Commission, right? Go win souls. But I think all these others add up to that. If you have good conduct or good character, people are going to see that and see there's something different. If you have good conduct, people are going to see that. They're going to start seeing Christ in you. If your conversation is completely different than everybody else around you in the room, everybody else around, then they're going to notice that there's something different about you. And when you tithe and you put God before money, they're definitely going to see something different around about you. And that is all going to lead to you being able to be a witness and convert people to the Lord. Souls will be saved by the way you and I live. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. To be fruitful, we have to plant the gospel seed. Have to plant the gospel seed. And that leads to a harvest. Now, you and I may not see that seed get watered, but we know that if God is in it, it will get watered and eventually harvested. And we'll see souls saved for Christ. We'll see converts. So we have to look at that. We have to pray for each other to gain wisdom, to gain knowledge and wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that the fruits will be produced in your life. And when those fruits are produced in every good work, then we see lives changed. Not only our own, but others around us. Character, who we are. Conduct, what we do. Conversation, what we say. Contribution, what we give. Converts, souls that we're a part of winning. That's a life that produces fruit. That is what we do. Paul said, I pray for you that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. As we produce fruit, our lives are going to grow closer to Christ, and we're going to increase in the knowledge of God. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray for each other. To be this type of people, we need to pray for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, so that we might be people that are productive for Christ. Not just somebody who sits in the pews on Sunday morning or in the Sunday school class, but that we're productive Christians. You want to be productive, and you want the person sitting to your left and right and across the auditorium to be productive, so that God can be glorified. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for your word. And Lord, as we go into life, Lord, I pray that we would be encouraged to pray for each other, so that we might see Christians growing in knowledge, growing in wisdom. We might see brothers and sisters in Christ walking with God in a way that's pleasing to him. We might see in our own lives and in the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ that we might see fruit being produced. Lord, if there's somebody today that needs to make a decision, I pray that today would be the day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, go to the website www.fbcmany.com. www.jesusimself.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.